Green is brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax. Above the crowd. Visit remaxliving.co.za.
And as always, it's a very warm welcome to John Richards. Top of the morning, John.
Yeah, hi. It's really right in the darkest days, isn't it? Next few weeks, yeah. But what? It's lovely. The rain's coming. The rain's coming.
Well, we hope so. Dark, dry days, and we need some wet days, don't
exactly.
we? And the promise of rain tomorrow, so we're hopeful.
Celebrating our unique position, the Cape Floral Kingdom. We all know about the Cape Floral Kingdom. If you don't, I don't know what planet you're on, but you're not on the Cape planet. Our unique biodiversity, quite fantastic and very, very important commercially as well, economically, and delight to welcome Professor Patrick Buick, who's right in the middle of it and knows everything about Buchu. Good morning, Professor. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John, and thank you for the opportunity. Wonderful to chat to you folks.
You work with Buchu, and Buchu is it. I mean, it's just some of the most wonderful material. It goes back over many, many hundreds of years, and the indigenous people, the Khoisan, the people who were living here before anybody else, they started off with Buchu, didn't they?
Indeed, John. In that, you know, when Jan van Niebeck arrived in the Cape, you know, he noticed that the Khoisan were sort of using, chewing the leaves of this particular plant, very, very fragrant. And he obviously started, you know, investigating, and he realized that these people were using it for medicinal properties, namely to treat things like bladder infections, eczema, asthma. And at one stage, they were drying the leaves and exporting it to the UK and to the US. And it is said that apparently there were bales of dried buchu leaves on the Titanic when she sank.
Yeah, now there's a fact. There's a quiz question for you. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. And apparently it was called the royal tea because it was pretty expensive, very difficult to cultivate. It's not possible to cultivate. And it just shows how this particular indigenous plant of the Western Cape is such a treasure because no one knows exactly why it grows in particular areas. Firstly, it only grows in the Western Cape.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's unique to the Floral Kingdom. Yeah.
It's unique to the Western Cape.
And there are a number of species, aren't there? It's not just one buchu.
No, exactly. There are a couple of species, but the only one that we have been investigating are two particular ones. There is the wild, or what they call the bastard buchu, which is not really medicinal.
Yeah.
There are two others that we are, in fact, studying at the present time.
Right. Well, now, you're an independent researcher for Cape Kingdom Nutraceuticals, commercial organization that's using the resource, and it's good for the economy.
Exactly. Cape Kingdom Nutraceuticals, I mean, they've been sponsoring the research that we do for them on a contract basis. And what we've been able to show for the last, 15 years that I've been working on the buchu is that, firstly, it has very, very potent anti-inflammatory properties. In other words, you know, it can address chronic inflammation. Now, we all know as we age, we tend to start developing the aches and pains.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people get diagnosed with, you know, sort of osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. Well, it switches off that inflammation. And also, because of the Khoisan's use of the buchu for treating of infections, such as blood infections, we investigated the buchu plant for antimicrobial properties, in other words, natural antibiotics. And we've been able to show some quite impressive results of testing the buchu against not just routine bacteria, but also those that are tending to become more and more resistant to antibiotics.
And I noticed that it can be used for animals as well, so the vets are also able to prescribe it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the vets have been very impressed by, you know, prescribing it to the animals, small animals, obviously. We haven't tried any large non-domestic animals, but definitely for the cats and dogs, you know, the dogs with mange and, you know, sort of gastritis, etc., it seems to work extremely well.
Well, the worry really is this terrible word, exploitation. You know, I don't know, you can get good exploitation and bad exploitation, and you say you can't cultivate it, so it's got to be harvested.
It is harvested, yeah. Indeed. The plant is not killed. I mean, they don't rip out the plant. So what they do, they basically just cut back, and the plant obviously regenerates itself. Then the oil is, in fact, distilled from the leaves. It's quite a fleshy leaf. And then the remaining leaves, in fact, once the oil has been extracted, is in fact dried, milled, and those are used for the animal products because it still contains biological molecules, obviously, with biological properties.
And this is all part of the huge body of indigenous knowledge that is now just coming to light and being used increasingly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, John, I mean, for many, many years before it really sort of got the attention of the sort of medical researchers, you know, it was used, the oil that was distilled was used in the fragrance industry or the flavor industry. And it's only, you know, the last 20 years that we've been focusing more on the medicinal properties. And what's really good is that, you know, because the Khoisan knew about this and had the indigenous knowledge, you know, there's been benefit share agreements set up with the Khoisan Trust, etc. So something goes back to the people who knew about this particular wonderful plant, you know, before we got
to that's really good news. Now, everybody always wants to know how much, what's it worth. What, I don't know whether these figures mean anything very much, but do you have any figures with zeros in them?
Unfortunately, you know, I'm not the businessman of the thing.
No, good, no. We can drop that question. Not important.
I really can't answer that question.
But there certainly is some commercial benefit as well, and it gets back to people who need it most.
Yeah, but, you know, it creates jobs. I mean, you know what I mean? People, you know, harvesting, they paid to go out into the mountains to go and harvest the
Right.
So it's a win-win situation for everybody.
And you can find out much more about this on the web. We'll post a link to your website on our website, and it's under www.buchulife.com, and you can also look at www.rickylitchfield.com. Thanks very much. We've been speaking to Professor Patrick Buick, independent researcher for Cape Kingdom Nutraceuticals, about one of our unique things that should make us say, yay, you know, this is unique. Thanks very much, Patrick.
Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX, above the crowd. Visit remaxliving.com.
Our blue planet is made up of air, water and land. Together they form the biosphere. When you add white and red to our blue planet, you get RE/MAX, care, consciousness and commitment. At RE/MAX, we don't just work in the community, we live there too. That's why we are committed towards a sustainable ecosystem. Skills development and training. A home is four walls. Our vision is forever. Visit remaxliving.co.za. RE/MAX. Above the crowd.